That is absolutely about the most beautiful song lately coming out. Holy, 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 holy on high, oh, loving you. Yeah, there you go. Y'all fix it up for me. Y'all zombie me up. I'm all zombied up. That was absolutely off the hook. Son, that was awesome. That was a God thing. Woo! That was a God thing. Ah, getting all fired up now. God's awesome. My brothers are fixing this up so you won't be attacked during service. How many remember what today was going to be about? Zombies. Let's see. God's awesome. Was not that just one of the most awesome songs? Wow. When DC told me, said, "You got to hear this, Dad," I went, "Wow. That's just absolutely off the hook." Don't pull away across because I got to walk around a little bit. Stop right there. Oh, you've already done it. It's fine. You've already got me in there. That's fine. You pin me in. Y'all pin me in. Where's the clicker at? Can't be lost too far. Okay, there you go. Now I got to go around the back here to get in. You know, I remember one time I was preaching at homecoming. I preached on the scourging, the crucifixion and the scourging. And when I got through preaching on the scourging, my wife said, "Do you realize after you talked about all that meat being torn off his back and all the ribs showing that we're having communion? Not communion, but having homecoming?" I said, "Well, I didn't really think about it." She said, "You really got into it." She said, "If you'll notice, there's not many people eating today either." All right. These guys have zombied me in. We're going to be okay. Amen. DC, can you get my lights fixed for me? DC, Daniel, one of y'all? Fix the lights for us. There you go. DC's got them up there. He's working on it. You know, I remember hearing this story, and I've already told this before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's worthy to be told again. Amen. Because it's homecoming. A boy went with his mother to the old general store, and he liked to sneak away from his mother when no one was looking, and he would dip his finger in the large barrel of molasses. The storekeeper caught him doing this and decided to teach the boy a lesson. So he picked the boy up by his britches, dunked him head first into the barrel of molasses, and then set him out on the front porch of the store. But instead of crying, the boy was out there praying, "God, give me the tongue to equal this opportunity." All right, so y'all want y'all to, I'm asking God to give you the ear and the heart and the mind to equal this opportunity. I know that you're thinking, "Wow, why is he talking about a zombie apocalypse?" Well actually, next week is Halloween, and so I was thinking about Halloween, and while I was thinking, I said, "Well, Lord, we need something. Normally we have a singing on homecoming. We don't have a singing this year." And I said, really, Lord, I want you to show me what to do." And sure enough, this kept coming to my mind. So I said, "Okay, Lord, thank you for zombie apocalypse." Amen. You got your Bible. Stand with me. Turn to John 10:10. My Bible's here somewhere. And I'm locked in again. All right. Somebody put them up to it, didn't it? So I can't walk around. Somebody put them up to it. How much do they pay y'all? Amen. It's right here. It's right here, brother. I was getting ready to climb in there and grid it. Right there. Thank you. I wouldn't jump it, but I don't want to show off. If I jump over that thing, I'm going to do more than show off. I'm going to show a whole lot more. John 10 and 10. You got your Bible, say amen. John 10 and 10. Read it with me. Y'all read it with me. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful weather, because we sure had enough bad weather. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, to understand what's getting ready to come to our ears. Lord, I ask you right now, Father, to help it sink deep in our hearts, Lord. Father, that you be glorified, Lord, and that we can go out and see the body edified. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, on the way down, give somebody a high five, low five, no five, and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lamb of God. God is so awesome all the time. God is awesome. Now, have you noticed in these last few years, at one time the big thing was Frankenstein and monsters. And then there was a time when it was vampires. I remember when I was coming up, the big thing was vampires. And after the vampires, it's like you get something else going. Well, nowadays, the big thing is zombies. And one of the number one shows on television is called The Walking Dead. I've never actually seen the show. I've seen a few clips from it. But I keep hearing that it is an awesome show, and that the ratings have gone so high that they've not even had to do a spinoff. The Walking Dead, and what's the next one? Fear the Walking Dead or Fear the Talk? Fear the Walking Dead, yes, amen. And then there's one about some Baptist preachers, Fear the Talking Dead. Just playing. Just playing. All right. So now, what's been going on in the last few years has been very fascinating, because there's been this strange fascination with zombies. There's even books out that tell you how to survive a zombie apocalypse. There's even things that tell you that the government knows there's a zombie apocalypse coming. There's all kinds of things. I know how to survive this zombie apocalypse. Well, first off, when you see apocalypse, every time you see apocalypse, people think bad things are coming. Because Revelation, that's the apocalypse. Well, let me just kind of clear some things up before we go any further. Apocalypse does not mean violence. Even though the last book of the Bible is called Revelation, it does not mean violence. It actually means revealing. It means to be revealed. It means to be brought to attention. It means that this is what's going to happen. So pay careful attention. This is what John's saying. Pay careful attention to what God revealed to me on Isle of Patmos. I'm going to reveal it to you. So the Apocrypha, which is the hidden books of the Bible. Apocrypha means hidden. That's why we don't have them in our 66 books of the Bible. The Catholic Bible does have them. And some of the other denominations, we just have the 66 books, and we don't have the Apocrypha, but all of us have the Apocalypse, which is the unveiling of what God is going to do in the last days. So now, with that in mind, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. Hope that I don't ruin your appetite. Make sure you hold on to your ears, hold on to your brain. Because they want to suck your brain out, and that's what I hear about all the guys, what they want to do. Amen. So here's if you look on the scary movies, of course, I tried to make it so it weren't so bad. Amen. If you look on the scary movies, if you look on The Walking Dead, if you look at this stuff, here's the characteristics of zombies. They're in a decaying, rotting state. Matter of fact, they have discolored skin and eyes. They're non-communicative. They groan instead of speaking. They're unemotional, with mercy towards none of their victims. They're hungry for human flesh. Zombies ignore animals. They just want humans. And they're clumsy and violent, and they're contagious. A person that is bitten by a zombie will become a zombie. Does that kind of sound like some stuff up today? I mean, look, in a decay, rotting state, look at our morals. Can you imagine why we've got two up running for office and nobody likes either one of them? How did that happen? We're going to have the first president that won by non-popular vote, either side. Amen. So non-communicative, people aren't talking anymore. They're texting, they're not talking. And when you start texting, you don't understand what somebody's trying to tell you. You know, you can't even see what's going on. Their emotions, you don't know whether they're mad, whether they're happy. They can put a smiley face there, and you're thinking, oh, they're happy. And they're going, I'll put a smiley face there so they'll think I'm happy, but I'll kill them if I can get around. I've seen them do it. I've had people come to me and go, can you believe they told me this? They said that they were going to get up, and they were going to blah, 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 blah. And I looked at it and said, we're getting up and getting ready to leave. So you add your own emotion to it. So non-communicative. Unemotional. The Bible says that in the last days that man will be without natural affection and hungry for human flesh. We feed on each other so fast. We'll feed on each other in a heartbeat. Clumsy and violent, contagious, because once you get hit by it, you want to bounce back and hit right back. Amen? But that's the characteristics on the shows of zombies. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all get ready. I've done some extensive research. Zombies are real. Did you know that? Let me tell you what a zombie is, though, before you get all thinking a dead person's going to walk around. What it is, in Haiti, in their voodoo, they said they were putting people in a trance. What they were doing is it was a drug-induced trance. And with this drug-induced trance, these people would appear to be dead. They would bury them and then come along behind them, dig them back up, keep them drug-induced in this zombie state, and use them as slaves. That's where the zombie myth came from. You know, there's got to be something there for that somebody to be talking this kind of stuff. That's where it came from. So it's actually a drug-induced mind control. It is not actually a dead person coming back from the dead without a mind doing this stuff. So you ain't got to tell your kids it's safe. We don't have zombies dug up out of the graveyard. This is something they use for slaves in Haiti. But let me tell you another thing in the middle of this. Satan is developing zombies today, too. Matter of fact, the more I think about it, the more I see it, he is building a zombie nation. Did you know that? We have a nation of zombies. You know, I think this really came to me really hard when I went up north and they told me, don't look any drivers in the eye. I said, well, how can I let them know what I want them to do if they can't see me? And they said, please do not look at anybody in the eye because you will incite violence. Looking at somebody in the eye is going to incite violence. I had more than one person tell me that. Not only did they hear that, but as you walk by, like I told you, a lady was on her texting. She was texting while walking. And she ran into me, and when she ran into me, I was turning the corner. As I was turning the corner, I was happy, I was singing, praising God, and I come around the corner, and here comes this lady texting, and she hits me, and then gets mad at me for being in the way. So I thought about that, and then as I came back, and I started really paying attention to this stuff, I started seeing people all the time. You know, they're not paying attention to what's going on. They don't see what's going on around them. And so actually, as I began to see this, the Lord began to speak to me. And as He began to speak to me, He said very clearly, and please listen, Satan is building a nation of zombies. That's how two people, the most unpopular people on either side, is running for office. Don't shout me down. You want to know why they're up there? Because we zombified. We put them there. So watch this. Here's our characteristics of Satan's zombie. Ready? Get ready. Here comes Satan's zombie. Okay. There's three of them right there. All right. Get ready. Characteristics of Satan's zombies. They are alive, but they're not alive. They think, but they don't think. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. They move without purpose. Does that sound like our generation? Jesus warned that it was coming. He said in the last days, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. They're going to be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, but they're not even going to know. Just like Noah's day, they're not going to know until the flood comes that it's even coming. Why? Because God, in His infinite mercy, keeps pounding the gospel to us, but Satan keeps hiding it. And as he hides the gospel from us, people actually have gotten so numb to everything around them that they're hearing, but they're not hearing. They're seeing, but they're not seeing. They're walking without this purpose because now Satan has his zombies. I see it all the time. I see it wherever I go. I see it at schools. I see it in stores. I see it anywhere I go. I see these people mindlessly walking around, not realizing what's getting ready to come upon them. I heard one person say, I'm going to vote, and I'm not trying to push either party, not at all. I do want you to vote. I'm not going to push either party. That's up to you. But I hear somebody say, well, I'm going to vote for Hillary because she's a woman. We need a woman in the White House. Really? But you're going to vote for her no matter what she stands for because she's a woman? Oh, we need Donald Trump in the White House because he's an idiot. We need an idiot in the White House. I've heard that. I'm not talking about what I said. I'm talking about people that said it. I'm not going to talk about either one of them, although I just did. I'm not. I will tell you this. I'm going to hear. Listen carefully. When you vote, don't vote for Hillary. Don't vote for Donald because I believe both of them are good people and both of them have their faults. Both of them. What I'm voting for is not Hillary. I'm not voting for Donald. What I'm voting for is I'm voting for the conservative right. All right? If President Obama come in here right now, do I think he did a great job as president? Honestly, no. But you know what I will do? I will honor his office. When he comes in here, I will honor his office as the president of the United States. And I think he's a good man. I just don't like the way he does things. But if he come in here right now, I would honor him. I wouldn't go up there and say, hey, dude, what's going on? I would say, hello, Mr. President. Can I find you a seat? Because I honor his office. God expects us to do that. The same way, again, I don't necessarily like Hillary. I don't like Hillary. I don't necessarily like Donald. But I know what I stand for. And if my ideals line up with one of them's ideals, that's the one I vote for. All right? So just remember that. Don't get crazy in voting for personalities because there's two personalities. Neither one of them. All right. I leave that alone. All right. All right. So now, here we go. Why is there a point of being afraid of the zombie apocalypse? We're already zombies. I had somebody almost run over me the other day. Stopped in the middle of the road, jumped out, took their cell phone, and did this, then jumped back in their car and ran off. Went a little bit further down, jumped out of their car and did this, and had no idea that I was even there. They were getting Pokemon. So I walked downtown. As I'm walking downtown, I got hit again. Somebody doing like this. I got hit again. Somebody doing like this. Yesterday, I was in Greenville, I was in Greenville. I'm coming along, and girls in some kind of fancy car, they come right beside me. One of them's talking on the phone. The other one's texting. The one driving was the texting. And they pulled right in front of me. I had to pull out of the way. And when they got to the stop sign, they stopped. Just stopped. Because they were busy texting and talking. And I had to go and already been there. I mean, they were just sitting there. So I tooted my horn gently. I didn't bang on it. I just tooted it gently. And they gave me the California howdy. And then they squalled off. And I said, you know what I said after working the sermon? I said, them zombies or something. So watch this. Satan wants us here. Because if we're here, then he can wreak havoc on the United States of America. He can wreak havoc in your house. He can wreak havoc in your own soul if he's got you a zombie. So it's important that we remain focused and don't let him zombify us. So here it is. what's the cause of the zombie syndrome nowadays? Zombie nation. What's the cause? John 10:10 says the thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, to destroy. That word thief, this is what this word thief is. It's kleptos. It means pilferer. It's where we get the word kleptomaniac. So this is a noun. He is kleptos, a noun. He promises us the world, but as he's giving it to you, he's always taking something. He never gives without taking. And before long, he will give and give and give, but he takes more than he gives, and eventually you've got nothing. Even if he tells you something that makes sense, he's lying, and he's going to yank it from under your feet to run. So the thief, the kleptomaniac, he can't help it. It's in his nature. He is going to rob you blind. It says he comes for to steal. That word steal is the word klepto. That's the verb. So kleptos is the noun. Klepto is the verb. Meaning now what he's done is he comes in and he takes away your stuff by stealth. We made fountain boats. I know you've heard me say it before. On the amphibious assault and desert storm, fountain boats were the only boats used in the amphibious assault and desert storm. They couldn't pick them up on radar. The Navy SEALs used them. They could get to shore at 130 miles an hour. They could not be picked up on radar. Why couldn't they be picked up on radar? They were made stealth. They were made flat black. And so, and the material, so they couldn't be picked up for radar. They came in, and that was the very first thing used in the attack on Desert Storm. It wasn't the bombs, it was the SEALs coming in. Now, but by stealth, they didn't even realize what was hitting them. The same way, Satan uses his stealth. The Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light, meaning he comes to you making you think he's got what you need. And the whole time again, as he's given, he's taken. Given and taken. And he takes more than he gives, and before long, you've lost your identity. So the thief comes to steal. As he's stealing, eventually you get raw. Then, after you get raw, then you get numb. Some of us in here have been raw and are still raw, and it hurts. Some of you think, well, I'm healing, but you're not necessarily healing. If you don't put God in it, you're not healing. What's happening is you're getting numb. And when you get numb, it is a bad, bad situation. Because at that point, you're beginning to be that zombie. So he comes in. These are his steps, his stages. He steals. Then after he steals, then he kills. The word steal, kill means actually to sacrifice, to slaughter for a purpose as a lamb. So he's come in, he's taken more than he's given. He's got you from being raw, from being sore to raw, and from raw to numb. And when you're numb, he comes in for the kill. Now see, Satan knows he can't attack God. There's no, God's more powerful. God is all power. He isn't. So he attacks God's people. That's how he does it. That's how he can attack the purpose of God, is by attacking the people of God. So here he comes in. Now he's attacking the creation. You're numb. And while you're numb, now he goes in for the kill. See, if he tried to kill you when you're sore, you're going to scream. If he tried to get you while you're raw, you're going to scream. But if he gets you while you're numb, you won't even know you're going there. Wow. And I've seen more Christians over my lifetime, especially in the last decade. Matter of fact, in the last couple of years, I've seen more go from sore to raw to numb, and they don't even realize they're going there. They don't even see the zombie, because they see but they don't see. They hear but they don't hear. They walk but they don't have any purpose. And so when he gets to that stage, when he throws that final punch on you, he'll destroy you. That word destroy means to put away entirely. Now, I'm not going to try to invoke feelings or try to invoke anything about anybody, but I just want you to kind of Just, and I'm not talking about people who may not be here today because they're sick or got other things to do. I'm talking about people that you knew that once were strong in God, serving God with all their heart. You haven't seen them serving God in days, months, even years. Why? Because they went from sore to raw to numb. They couldn't even feel the blade against their throat because they were numb. And he took them out entirely. And now all they are is the walking dead. And the sad part is some don't even know. The Bible says that Samson, when they come after him, he didn't realize his hair had been cut off. And I would think I would notice that. He stands up, and when he stands up, the Bible says he shakes himself and says, I'm going to do like I always do, and I'm going to take on these Philistines. And they took him down. He didn't even realize his power was gone. Why? Because Samson was the walking dead. The man in the tombs, Jesus came to and says, we are legion, for we are many. You know, when he talks about who are you in this man, we are legion, for we are many. And, of course, you know the little thing I always talk about. He said, well, get out of this man. And when he said get out, the man was walking around naked in the tomb. Naked in the tombs. They had chains on him, naked in the tombs. And the Bible says that after Jesus cast the devils out, the devil said, we got to go back in some kind of being. And so there was a herd of pigs around there. So put us in the herd of pigs. And so they put the devils went into the herd of pigs, and the pigs couldn't stand it. And the Bible says the pigs ran off the side of the mountain and died because they fell for such a long ways. You know what they did? Again, you heard it. They committed suicide. All right. So once Jesus gets a hold of him, he says, let me follow you, Jesus. And he says, no, you can do a whole lot better serving me by being here, because now the people are going to see there's hope for zombies. There's hope. Do you know, if you find yourself, again, I can't say it enough, sore, irritated, sore, raw, numb. People say time heals all wounds. That is an incorrect statement. Time does not heal all wounds. Sometimes time makes wounds rougher. Time, when you do the proper principles along with it and apply God to it, you know, a doctor can heal this. Time can even help heal this, but it takes the breath of God to heal your soul. There's no other way. So if you're sore, raw, numb, and now you're down, the breath of God can bring you back. So let's just go a little bit further here, the cure. I was reading this, and I read it different than I've ever read it before in my entire life. And I want you to see where I'm coming from. Here's the call, or I mean the cure. He says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now I want you to see, he says, I am come. I am come. Y'all say that with me. I am. I am here. I am here. As I began to read that, of course, in the Greek, it doesn't have this exact word, but when you look at how he says it throughout his entire ministry, it's not violating principle and scripture to do this. Watch this. I am the covenant name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh is come. I am the bread of life. I am the source of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Look at God in him. Whatever you need, he's got. He says, I am come. I love this. That word come, think about it. It's talking about the incarnation of Christ. It means he came as God, and he took on flesh. You know, Job said, God, you have no idea how bad I'm hurting. You got no idea, because there's no days been between us. You're God. You never hurt. I'm man. I always hurt. There's no days, but no arbitrator between us. And you know what? Job was exactly right. But when Jesus came, Jesus was the arbitrator. Jesus was the daysman between us and God, because now God knows what it feels like to suffer pain, hunger, hurt, fatigue. He knows what it's like to lose people. He knows what it's like to meet schedules. He knows what it's like to work, be a carpenter. He knows this stuff. So he says, I am come. God shredded him, or shrouded in flesh, that they might. See, the Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, to destroy. He's coming like a coming along like a steam iron. But here, he says, I am come, Yahweh, the incarnation of Yahweh, I am come that they might have life. Now watch this. God's not going to force this life on you, and Satan can't keep you from it. Why? I find myself sometimes as I'm working and I'm tired, I've stayed up late working on papers or I'm trying to be in two or three places at one time. You know, I remember one time there was an emergency at New Bern Hospital, so I was there till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I went home. I drove back to Greenville to a 7 o'clock surgery. I was there for that. I left after the end of surgery and went back to New Bern for another surgery, and then I wound up going to where this person was in their room. And so in 24 hours, I'd been from Washington to Greenville Hospital, both Washington Hospital too, and Greenville Hospital and New Bern Surgical Center and the hospital. And I was so tired. And I was riding along, and I found myself getting ill. Not at people, just ill. People getting in front of me, I'm going, is that the best you can do? Can you drive any better than that? I didn't realize I was frazzled. I had to stop, and I pulled over, and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're more than enough. Satan can't take this from me. You're not going to force it on me. I've got to willingly reach out for what you got. I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. And the rest of the day was an amazing day. You see, remember, I can't say it enough. This life, this what God provides for us, the Zoe life. He's not going to force it on you. Satan can't take it or keep you from it. So when you think about might, it equals potential, a choice. You got a choice. And then you might have life. And, of course, life is fullness, to be fresh, to be vigorous, to be strong. You know, I sit back and I look at people like my mama who had lost both of her legs all the way up to her hips. She had lost her kidneys. She had lost her heart. And they had like six major surgeries on her heart. She was on dialysis, peritoneal dialysis, 4 and 5 times a day. And she was a very bad diabetic. And I remember all that, but you know what I noticed about her, and it shined in my heart and in my spirit, is that although her body was being taken away slowly, and she was losing it time and time again, losing more and more stuff, her spirit got stronger and stronger and stronger. She brought us in the house. She said, man, I'm making an announcement. And I said, what's the announcement? She said, the doctor has found a tumor in my stomach. And said he thought I might stand a chance of survival out of all this. Said, but now with that tumor in my stomach, gives me a month to live. And so she said, I've decided to go off dialysis. And we all said, Mama, she says, I don't want to hear it. I'm ready. I'm not going to make it any worse than it is. Of course, she lived 2 months. But just before she got through with that talk, she said, now, with everybody gather around my bed. She looked over at me first. She said, David. And she started naming my family down. Then Gary, and named the family down. Larry, Tammy, and looked over at Dad. And she told everybody by their name. She called every last one of us by our name. Told us that she loved us very much. And then she said, you got to give me a promise. And I got to hear you say it right now. She said, promise me that you'll meet me in heaven. That was such a powerful day. And everybody said it. And at the time, my family was the only one serving the Lord. Now everybody's serving. My daddy, hard-headed, but he says he's going to make it, so I'm going to trust him. But the point of it was, although her body was going away from here, her life got fuller and fuller and fuller. Her life got so full that the doctors came to our house and would come to our house and spend an hour or two just sitting down talking with mom. And weren't even talking about her condition, just talking. It blew me away. You see, listen, that we might, the potential, have life. And this is the kind of life that your body can't touch. This is the kind of life that situations can't touch. You know what sinks a ship? You can put a ship in the deepest water you want. It's not the water on the outside that sinks the ship. It's when the water gets on the inside of the ship, that's when it sinks. You can have, I seen a fountain boat. I come in one day and it said, David, get your camera and get on down there and get ready. Mr. Fountain is having a fit. I said, I ain't done anything. He said, no, you ain't the one he's mad at, but you're going to hear him. I said, all right. I got down there and I looked at the pier, and the pier, I forget how deep it was there. It was probably, Daniel could tell me, or DC, but it was like 10 foot there. And I come up on a fountain boat, and all I saw was the top of the T-top. Somebody was test driving, left the plug out. I ain't gonna tell you whose boat it is. You don't might tell them. You see, that great big old powerful fountain boat that would go 100 something miles an hour, that could breeze through any storm. It didn't even matter. All it took was one little bitty hole. And the next day. So remember, this is the kind of life that insulates you. So no matter how much water you're around, no matter how deep it is that you're in, some of us are in deeper than others, no matter how deep you're in, you're going to stay afloat as long as you let it stay on the outside and don't let it get on the inside. Because if it gets on the inside, you will get raw. First you'll get irritated, you'll get raw, you will get numb, and then you will be taken out and you will be a zombie. So, life, full, fresh, strong, and more abundantly, which means uncommon. An uncommon life. Can you imagine over and above uncommon? You know, I've had people a lot of times ask me, how in the world can you seem so happy at a time like this? Or how can you seem like you got it all together when everything's falling all apart? I said, it's not me that's got it all together, it's God. And I just choose to believe him because he's a whole lot better off than what I am. So watch this. I'm closing. Getting ready to, but I told you I was going to make a prediction today, so I got to make my prediction. John 10:10, watch this. The thief cometh only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Another version, the message says, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. So now, reporting live from the 2016 presidential election. See him coming out of the sewer? How many's been watching the debates? If I got to hear one of them say to the other one, y'all need to, they'll say, look, we're here to talk about the issues. Then they'd talk about them. Bleh. Well, I'm here to talk about the issues. Bleh. I really heard a whole lot of issues being talked about. I just heard them talking about each other. So watch this. There's a real condition out here today, and I've been training on how to help it. And that is called ETSD. There's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's CTSD, which is complex trauma, stress, disorder. And then there is ETSD. ETSD is election trauma stress disorder. Can you believe this? This is a real disorder, and it's sweeping our nation. And it's not something to be proud of. It is sweeping our nation. People are traumatized and they're stressed out over this election. It is dividing homes. It is dividing businesses. It's got people so tore up they don't know exactly what to say or what to do anymore because they, you know, it's like you watch the polls. Just a few days ago, Donald Trump was down by 7 over Hillary after the debate, and then as of yesterday by Rasmussen, he's up by 4 points. But you know what? If you look at this thing, 4 points, that doesn't mean anything, 4 points. You know, unless it's a concrete 4 points. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, we're in this election trauma. We've got this going on. I've even heard church people, not in here, but I've heard church people, I hear them arguing over who is the best candidate. Again, I'm going to vote with a conservative mind. I want to keep God in this, all right? So now, watch this. Here we go. Get ready. I have a prediction. I'm going to help take care of some of this. I kid you not. This is 100% accurate. You can put this, if you got one, you can put it in your pipe and smoke it. This is 100% accurate. You're going to come to me after the election and say, you know what, Pastor? Wow, you were exactly right. You see, so watch this. I mean, I see them all the time pointing, you did it. And everybody tore up. Their nerves were shot. You know, I was watching that funny, that dinner they had after the debate. And they were supposed to be cutting down their self. And I watched Romney do it. And I saw when Romney did it with Obama. And they were awesome. They were absolutely awesome. They were funny. They were self-deprecating like you're supposed to be. I watched them get it. How many watched it? They got up and they started out cutting themselves down. Next thing you know, they were cutting each other to the quick. I mean, it was terrible. They were chewing each other up. So it says, no wonder, Lord, people are just eat up with this ETSD. So watch this now. Get ready. Get ready. Y'all ready for it? 100% accurate. Never been wrong. What I'm getting ready to show you has never been proven wrong through any election. You hear it all the time on Fox and CNN. This guy's been predicting them for 30 years and he's never been wrong. This guy's been predicting them since Abraham Lincoln. He's never been wrong. Y'all get that in a minute. Well, I'm giving you something that you can come to me on November 9th and go, wow. Wow. Matter of fact, if you watch this, this will cure your ETSD today. Ready? Election is November 8th or 28th, whichever one you choose. Y'all didn't hear it on the news. Donald Trump said, y'all vote on November 28th. He did. He said it last week. Y'all make sure you vote on November 28th. So either the 8th or the 28th, which one you want. So watch this. Watch this. Ready? On November 9th. Here it comes. Oh. On November 9th, it's another day of God's perfect sovereignty. He will still be in charge. He will still be on the throne. He will still be managing the affairs of this world. Never before has his providence depended on a king, on a president, or a ruler. Never has he had to worry about who was in office, who was in charge, who was calling the shots. Jesus is still Lord. Praise God. And on November 9th, he's still going to be God, and he's still in control. Amen. Listen, watch this. The Lord can control a king's mind as he controls a river. He can direct it as he pleases, Proverbs 21:1. The Lord turned the heart of the king of Assyria so that he aided them in the construction of the temple. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to release Jews free to return to Jerusalem. Tell me God can't do what he wants to do. Amen? Watch this. Here's some more stuff. Won't you remember this? Won't you listen hard? God, oh, look at that throne. Woo! God is perfect. He could be no better than he already is. God is self-created. He exists because he chose to exist. He is self-sustaining. No one helps him. No one gives him strength. He is self-governing. Who can question his deeds? Who dares? Advises God. He is correct in every way, in every choice. He does not regret. There's no decision he regrets. He has never failed, never cannot fail. He will accomplish his plan. Praise the Lamb of God. Isn't that awesome? Oh, come on. You ought to be happy about that. That ought to give you a hand clap time. Go ahead. God is king. He is supreme ruler. He is absolute monarch. He is the overlord of all history. And an arc of his eyebrow, or he arcs his eyebrow, and a million angels will pivot and salute. Every throne is a footstool to his. There is no limitations, no hesitations, no questions, no second thoughts, no backward glances. He consults no clock. He keeps no calendar. He reports to no one. He is in total, absolute charge. Not Hillary, not Donald, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not Congress, not the Senate. God is in charge. Praise the Lamb of God. And on November 9th, God will still be in charge. Praise the Lamb of God. Our good God rules the world. We can totally, totally trust Him. So the choice is kind of clear, isn't it? You can be a zombie, or you can believe that Jesus. Y'all come up here to play something. You can believe that Jesus has it covered. When you think about this, you know what? If my candidate doesn't win, you know what? It does matter to me, but at the same time, it matters to our nation. But if our candidate you want does not win, God is still in control. Amen? He is still in control. Everybody stand. You got a choice today. You can go ahead and be, and this is not a drug-induced, this is usually fear-induced and pain-induced zombie. Starts out with being sore, then being raw, then being numb, and then taking you out. Today, do you want to be zombified, or do you want to see God glorified in your life? Yes, there's times we all got hurt. We've all got pain. We've all been hit. There's nobody in here that has not been hit. There's nobody in here that's immune from pain. From the very first of the Bible in Genesis, the very first book, pain is introduced. Because of a bad decision of Adam and Eve, pain was introduced and induced. But the cure is found. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask some hard questions right now. You may not even want to answer, but I wish you would be strong enough to answer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you where anybody can embarrass you. I'm going to be the one looking. If you're here this morning, number one, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got a target on your back, and Satan's pounding it. And you're trying to fight it with flesh, and it's not working. It keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And you're asking, why is it taking so long? Why is it so hard? It's because you don't know Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. How many here would say today, I don't know Jesus? And just put your hand up and then you can put it back down. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I want to know Him. Then how many here would say, you know what? I did know Him. But I have let things get to me. I didn't realize until today how Satan was slowly eating away at me. And the flesh was taken over. And I need God to do that second part of John 10:10. I'm ready to have that life and have it more abundantly. If I'm speaking to you and nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up quickly? I need God to do that. Maybe you're here and you've been hurt, and either right now you're hurt or you're wore out, you're sore. Or maybe you've got beyond sore and you're raw. Sore can, you know, just a little bit and you're over with it. Raw is there for a while. But as long as that stays raw, 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 eventually it becomes calloused. And when it becomes calloused, feel anything. You've gone from feeling a little at sore to feeling a lot at raw, and now you feel nothing because you're numb. And you don't even realize it, but you're getting ready to have your spiritual brain zapped. You're fixing to wind up in Zombieville and don't even realize a spiritual Zombieville. And God needs to do some work in your life. If I'm talking to you and nobody's looking around and everybody's eyes are closed, just put that hand up quickly and say, pray for me. I feel it. I see it. I feel it. You showed me. And I understand it now. And I'm not going to be a zombie. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to all pray together. I know it's homecoming. Y'all want to get over there. So we're going to all pray together. And after we pray together, if there's anybody needs special prayer, you can come up. And if you don't, then we're going to end and we're going to say our blessing over here so you can go in there and start eating. Y'all repeat after me. God, I need you. I see now what Satan is trying to do to me. I understand. He's trying to make me a spiritual zombie. But you have come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. So I thank you, God. You don't force it. Satan can't keep me from it. I accept new life in you right now. I refuse to be a zombie. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I thank you. Keep on praying. I thank you for that new life, that new vigor, that new restoration in my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, does anybody have a special need you want to come up and be prayed for? If you don't, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to dismiss us in prayer, and I'm going to go ahead and say the blessing. So when you get over there, you can go ahead and start eating. All right? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for this hour. We thank you, God, that you have given us so much. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, to help us understand that Satan wants to take away from us what you've given. We trust you, Lord, that we can stand strong and we can stand true and that we can know that you are in control. I ask you right now, Father, to bless and anoint us this day. And ask you also to bless and anoint this homecoming meal. Let it work in our lives and provide nourishment for us.